What about these state-owned enterprises? The Ministry of State-Owned Enterprise still has 1% of the red and white shares to manage and even decide to appoint or dismiss members directly. That is within the authority of the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises. 99% of the B share series are controlled by Danantara, so I think the distribution is clear. The strengthening of its victory in Danantara is also clear, and how it will be later is just operational. Furthermore, Herman Kairon hopes that Danantara will finance all sectors in Indonesia that require investment. By utilizing the investment strength currently owned by Danantara, he's optimistic that the state-owned enterprises' dividends will improve and have a strong budget, which will generate financial benefits for the country. Previously, at the launch of Danantara Monday, President Prabowo also signed Presidential Decree No. 30 of 2025 concerning the appointment of the Supervisory Board and Executive Board of Danantara. Moving on, the Free Nutritious Meal Program reaches 38 provinces in Indonesia during the month of Ramadan. The Free Nutritious Meal Program will continue to run with various adjustments. Dora Partede has the details.
The Indonesian government through the National Nutrition Agency stated that the Free Nutritious Meal Program has been running in 38 provinces in Indonesia. This was conveyed by the head of the National Nutrition Agency, Dadan Hindayana, after reporting the progress of the implementation of the Free Nutritious Meal Program to President Prabowo Subianto in a limited meeting at the Presidential Palace, Jakarta, Monday. Dadan Hindayana emphasized that this achievement was a significant step in equalizing access to nutrition for the community. Dadan also mentioned that this week the program has been able to serve more than 2 million beneficiaries.
Jadi dalam waktu satu setengah bulan.
So within 1.5 months, thank God it has now reached 38 provinces and 693 service units. And this week it will be able to serve more than 2 million beneficiaries.
Bisa melayani lebih dari 2 juta penerima manfaat.
Meanwhile, during the month of Ramadan, Dadan Hindayana said that the Free Nutritious Meal Program will continue with a number of adjustments in the food distribution mechanism. Dadan explained that students who are fasting can take the meals home for breaking the fast. The food provided during Ramadan will also be long-lasting food such as milk, boiled eggs, dates, cookies, and fruit. Dadan also stated that his agency will continuously pay attention to the food nutritional composition, which includes protein, carbohydrates, and fiber. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The next news. Indonesia Cooperative Minister Budi Aris Setiadi reaffirmed the government's commitment to accelerating food programs and strengthening the role of cooperatives. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian Cooperative Minister Budi Aris Setiadi affirmed that the government will continue to accelerate food programs and strengthen cooperatives focusing on the Free Nutritious Meal or MBG program. This was conveyed by Budi Aris after attending a meeting with President Prabowo at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday, 24 February 2025. He said the program was one of the priorities of President Prabowo Subianto's administration.
Tadi kami baru selesai.
We just finished a meeting with the president starting from 2:30 and it has just finished. The discussion covered steps related to food programs, including the Free Nutritious Meal Program. It also addressed the role of cooperatives, the Ministry of Agriculture, and other related matters. Additionally, it focused on various acceleration efforts for rural development, particularly in the food sector.
Furthermore, Budi Ari emphasized that cooperatives will serve as a key instrument in improving public welfare, especially in rural areas based on the agricultural sector. Cooperatives are seen as a strategic pillar in driving people's economic growth and strengthening their role in supporting food security and the welfare of rural communities, along with accelerating various development programs in the agricultural sector.
Continuing on, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs encouraged people not only in Indonesia, but also around the globe, to understand online scam crime mode before deciding to work overseas. According to Director for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Ministry, Judah Nugraha, online scam crimes have penetrated communities in many countries, from Asia to the Middle East and Africa, and using different methods compared to the trafficking and in-person crime. Andi Ramdoni has the details.
Director for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, invited the public to acknowledge the online scam crime mode that targets not only Indonesian citizens but also those of other countries around the world. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service in Jakarta on Tuesday, Yuda Nugraha explained that online scam crime has a different mode from traditional trafficking in person crime.
When we are dealing with the so-called traditional trafficking in person cases, we are dealing with a victim profile, mostly women, mostly they are uneducated, coming from poor family, they are jobless, yeah, and then they're coming from remote area. But when we are dealing with victim of online scam, we are dealing with completely a different victim profile. Yeah, we have recorded the victim of online scam operation. They are coming from Gen Z, age between 18 to 35 years old, and then they are educated. Even handle cases of victim, he has a master degree. And then they are coming from middle class family. And they are not jobless. Some of them, they have a good work actually in Indonesia, but they are being lured by unscrupulous job opportunities, offices, and then they are being trapped then in some country like Miyawati.
Yuda Nugraha explained a number of efforts can be made so that people can avoid online scam crimes, starting from following procedures according to existing law to checking the validity of job providers and existing work contracts.
So we have to understand about the modus of this online job recruitment. What we would like to highlight about this is very important to understand about the models and then make sure that if we want to work overseas, we do follow proper procedure as stipulated under the law of 18, number 18, year 2017, pertaining to the protection of Indonesian migrant workers. And make sure you can check the credibility of the job opportunities. And then make sure you have a valid working visa. And then have signed proper employment contract. And don't go if you don't bring those documents with you.
On Thursday, 46 Indonesian citizens who managed to leave the Miyawadi area, Myanmar, arrived in Indonesia. They are suspected of being victims of human trafficking and have undergone the National Referral Mechanism, NRM, verification process by the Thai government since January 2025. The repatriation process is a collaboration between the Indonesian government, Thailand, authorities in Myanmar, and the Indonesian military and Indonesian police. Andi Ramdoni reporting.
The next news. The Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports has forged a collaboration with the ASEA Mixed Martial Arts Federation to accelerate the development of young mixed martial arts athletes in Indonesia. In a statement from his office cited on Tuesday, Youth and Sport Minister Dito Aryo Tejo stated that the cooperation focuses on honing the skills of domestic MMA talents aged 10 to 17, preparing them to represent Indonesia at international tournaments. He remarked after receiving a visit from AMMAF President Dafran Jurayf at his office in Jakarta Monday. The minister expressed confidence that this collaboration would also inspire Indonesian Pencaksilat athletes to pursue careers in the mixed martial arts. The Mixed Martial Arts Federation AMMAF President Juraev underscored his team's determination to improve the MMA scene in Indonesia, as he believes the country holds significant potential in the fighting sports. He contended that developing young athletes, certifying referees, and sending athletes abroad for training programs are crucial initial steps for Indonesia to advance its MMA landscape. The AMMAF president also noted that his federation is working towards gaining recognition for MMA from the International Olympics Committee and the Olympic Council of Asia. Meanwhile, the Amateur MMA Association of Indonesia has outlined several strategic plans for this year, including organizing a youth national championship in April, inviting AMMAF to coach and referee workshops, and participating in a youth World Championship in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates in August. Moving on, after almost 2 weeks of training camp in Yogyakarta, Garuda Muda Indonesia team squad has now experienced a significant increase in their performance. The gradual increase was conveyed by assistant coach Sophie Imam Faisal to RRI on the sidelines on the training at the Yogyakarta Independent School. Sophie Imam Faisal said that the increasing performance had started since the 2024 AFF Cup. Meanwhile, the head coach of the U-17 national team, Nova Arianto, said that with the increase in performance, it is hoped that the team will get maximum results in the Asian Cup. Yes, in terms of progress, it has been very, very good because we have made it periodic. We have indeed planned according to what we have made because we have formed this team since the beginning of 2024. How do we enter the AFF and when we are still in the qualification? When we enter the Asian Cup, and that is in accordance with our target, and hopefully it can help the players later in the Asian Cup. In the Asian Cup that will take place on April 3rd until 20th of 2025 in Saudi Arabia, Nova Arianto targets the Garuda Muda squad to become the champion of the tournament for the first time, or at least get a ticket to qualify for the U-17 World Cup that will take place in November 2025 in Qatar. And that's the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. And coming up next, here's commentary entitled Indonesian Citizens Victims of Human Trafficking by Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia's commentary today is on Indonesian citizens victims of human trafficking. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs repatriated 46 Indonesian citizens victims of human trafficking who were trapped in the conflict area of Miawadi, Myanmar. It was carried out via Bangkok on Thursday night, February the 20th. Regarding the repatriation, the Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia said there were around 6,000 Indonesian citizens who were detected as victims in almost 10 countries, including South Africa, Belarus, Thailand, the Philippines, and the United Arab Emirates. Almost all of them were deceived because of job vacancies abroad with the lure of attractive salaries and positions. They not only came from low levels of education, but some even of the graduate level. Reflecting on the victims of human trafficking case, Yuda Nugraha asked for cooperation from stakeholders in all lines such as ministries, institutions, academics, and the private sector to prevent and provide education to the public about the dangers of human trafficking and online scams. In fact, the process of finding work abroad is not as easy as many people think. Someone may have quite good abilities or skills in particular field. However, in this day and age, if you ignore technology and insight, you will be easily deceived. For this reason, the identification of companies or parties opening vacancies must be carefully examined. It could be that what the Ministry of Foreign Affairs detected from its representatives abroad was just the tip of the iceberg, while what actually happened was even bigger and more complicated. For this reason, socialization about the ins and outs of jobs offers abroad must touch all parties from the top to the bottom by involving academics and community leaders. In addition, education about the dangers of online scams must also be intensified by the government, because this is where it all comes from. Currently, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has taken several actions. One of them is cooperating with countries that have been detected to see the arrival of suspicious Indonesian citizens there. Well, that was commentary.
service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and by streaming on voanews.id and RRA Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miseland, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Forest. The waterfalls are famous for two stunning cliffs standing between the falls. The cliffs are made of huge stones. Surrounding the falls, there are other four waterfalls which are part of the Leader waterfalls. The best time to visit the waterfalls is in the morning, as you can witness the beauty of sunrise at the waterfall. The panorama of the waterfalls is outstanding. In addition, the waterfalls have cozy ambience and cool temperature. It is one of the places that you should explore if you travel to Banyuwangi. You can take public transportation, motorbike, and car to get to the waterfalls. The destination takes 45 minutes from Banyuwangi. There is not any facility at the waterfalls due to its location at the protected forest. You can park your vehicles at the locals' housing, which is about 1 km from the waterfalls. The entrance ticket of the waterfalls is 3,000 rupiahs. Meanwhile, you have to pay 5,000 rupiahs for the parking ticket. If you are passionate about adventure, you must visit Leader Waterfalls in Banyuwangi. The falls are extremely challenging to visit because you need to conquer complicated fields such as pine forest, clover, and sugar plantation, as well as deep cliffs.
Listener, if you really like coffee and you are one of the coffee lovers, let's listen to Indonesia Wonder with Rahma about Godok Coffee.
listeners, for coffee lovers, Indonesia is a paradise for coffee. Here you can enjoy various types of coffee with unique flavors. One that we highly recommend is Godok Coffee. Its distinctive preparation method and special taste made many people love it. Recently, this iconic culinary gem for Ciamis Regency, West Java Province, was officially recognized as an intangible cultural heritage at the West Java provincial level. The uniqueness of Godok coffee lies in its preparation. The coffee beans are not ground but left whole or golondongan. These whole beans are roasted until they turn slightly blackish, then boiled in water with palm sugar and coconut milk, or in Sundanese of West Java language it is called Cipati. Some people in Ciamis refer to it as golondong coffee, as golondong in Sundanese means whole, referring to the unground coffee beans. When enjoyed, it delivers a sweet, savory, and slightly bitter taste, with the coffee beans none to be chewed. Listener, according to local stories, Godok coffee has been around since the 17th century. It was traditionally served during celebrations or Thanksgiving events. Godok coffee pairs perfectly with sweet snacks like apam cake, papais or traditional rice flour and palm sugar cake, fermented cassava, or even fried snacks. In the sacred Lengkong site in Ciamis, Godok coffee served as a ritual in every Mupunjung tradition during the month of Muharram. In this ritual, Godok coffee is offered as a sacred offering, followed by communal prayer or tawasul, and then enjoyed together with the other offering. Well, listeners, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, after this, we will listen to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the topic Di Bali or in Bali. So, if you're interested, stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Department Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di Bali. Di Bali,
which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about
berteriak-teriak, berteriak-teriak,
which means shooting. The monologue is by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, who is recording a vlog at Padang Bayi Seaport in Bali. Chris was about to board a ferry with his motorcycle to Lombok. When he was vlogging, he heard people shooting at the motorists who cut in line. Let's listen to the monologue.
Halo semua, siang ini saya berada di Pelabuhan Padang Bayi, Bali. Saya mau naik feri ke Lombok dengan motor saya. Sebentar, kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak? Oh, ternyata ada pengendara motor yang menyalip antrean.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic,
berteriak-teriak, berteriak-teriak,
which means shooting. We will say it slowly, and please repeat after us.
Kenapa, kenapa,
which means why,
orang-orang itu,
which means those people,
berteriak-teriak, berteriak-teriak,
which means shooting.
Kenapa orang itu berteriak-teriak? Kenapa orang itu berteriak-teriak?
Which means, why are those people shouting?
Siang ini, siang ini.
Which means, this noon.
Pelabuhan Padang Bayi, Pelabuhan Padang Bayi.
Which means, Padang Bayi Seaport.
Naik, naik.
Which means, aboard.
Ferry, ferry.
Which means, ferry.
Motor, motor.
which means motorcycle.
Pengendara motor. Pengendara motor.
Which means motorist.
Sebentar. Sebentar.
Which means a moment.
Ternyata. Ternyata.
Which means it turns out.
Menyalip antrian. Menyalip antrian.
Which means cutting in line. In the monologue, you heard the expression.
Kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak? Kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak?
Which means why are those people shouting? There is the phrase
berteriak-teriak. Berteriak-teriak.
Which means shouting, which in this case also literally means
berteriak berkali-kali. Berteriak berkali-kali.
Which means shouting for many times. The phrase
berteriak-teriak. Berteriak-teriak.
Which means to shout or to yell, and literally means exclaiming with a loud voice. In this, Chris was describing the people who kept shouting for many times by saying,
orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak. Orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak.
Which means those people are shouting. Here is another example. Let's hear some other examples of repetitive or continuous activity.
Berbisik-bisik. Berbisik-bisik.
Which means whispering.
Saya mendengar mereka berbisik-bisik membicarakan saya. Saya mendengar mereka berbisik-bisik membicarakan saya.
Which means I heard them whispering about me.
Bermain-main. Bermain-main.
Which means playing.
Gadis kecil itu bermain-main di dek kapal. Gadis kecil itu bermain-main di dek kapal.
Which means the little girl was playing at the dam.
Kapal. Kapal.
Or a ship is a water transportation. Obviously, there are other water transportations besides ships. They can be
ferry. Ferry.
Which means ferry.
Perahu. Perahu.
Which means boat.
Kapal pesiar. Kapal pesiar.
Which means yacht.
Rakit. Rakit.
Which means raft.
Kapal selam. Kapal selam.
Which means submarine. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the monologue.
Halo semua, siang ini saya berada di Pelabuhan Padang Bayi, Bali. Saya mau naik feri ke Lombok dengan motor saya. Sebentar, kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak? Oh, ternyata ada pengendara motor yang menyalip antrean.
Well, listeners, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
berteriak-teriak. Berteriak-teriak.
Which means shooting. We hope today's edition will be useful for you. And for those who want to know more about Indonesian language, I'm Daniel and my colleague,
Karno Olivia.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Music Corner presents a Malay song entitled Ampera Berjaya or Glorious Ampera by Igo Alamsyah. The song Ampera Berjaya was composed by Atan. The song tells the story of Ampera, a bridge known as the icon of Palembang City, South Sumatra Province. In this song, Ampera is told to stand majestically and beautifully in the land of Sriwijaya. The lyrics of Ampera Berjaya contain a message to build the country together so that Palembang remains Islamic. Well, listener, here is the song Ampera Berjaya by Igo Alamsyah. Enjoy!
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Boy listener, for tuning in Voice of Indonesia, Indonesia Today. And for those of you who want to send your critic suggestion and also information, you can send it through our social media. In Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok account in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id. And also our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Again, in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much, for a listener, for listening to Indonesia Today. But don't go anywhere, because after this, Voice of Indonesia will always be here, bringing you the latest update from Indonesia to the world. So always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to...
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan, serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.boinus.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia.
From Indonesia to the world.
Dari Jakarta, inilah Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia. Selamat berjumpa lagi pendengar di seluruh dunia. Saya Agus Antika, senang rasanya dapat menemani Anda kembali pada hari ini. Selama satu jam ke depan, dalam siaran berbahasa Indonesia, saya akan menyajikan beragam informasi, musik terbaik dan budaya Indonesia yang mempesona. Baik, mengawali siaran hari ini, kita simak terlebih dahulu warta berita bersama rekan saya, Sumarno.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan warta berita. Inilah sari berita penting. Program makan bergizi gratis layani lebih dari 2 juta penerima dan menjangkau 38 provinsi. DPR harap Danantara jadi lembaga pembiayaan yang kuat. Bersama saya Sumarno, inilah warta berita selengkapnya. Pemerintah melalui Badan Gizi Nasional menyatakan program makan bergizi gratis atau MBG telah berjalan di 38 provinsi di Indonesia. Hal tersebut disampaikan oleh Kepala Badan Gizi Nasional Dadan Hindayana usai melaporkan perkembangan pelaksanaan program makan bergizi gratis kepada Presiden Prabowo Subianto dalam rapat terbatas di Istana Kepresidenan Jakarta Senin 24 Februari 2025. Dadan Hindayana menekankan bahwa capaian ini menjadi langkah signifikan dalam pemerataan akses gizi bagi masyarakat. Dadan juga menyebut bahwa pekan ini program tersebut sudah bisa melayani lebih dari 2 juta penerima manfaat.
Jadi dalam waktu 1,5 bulan, alhamdulillah sekarang sudah mencapai di 38 provinsi dan di 693 satuan pelayanan. Dan minggu ini insya Allah sudah bisa melayani lebih dari 2 juta penerima manfaat.
Sementara itu selama bulan Ramadan, Dadan Hindayana menyampaikan program makan bergizi gratis tetap berjalan dengan sejumlah penyesuaian dalam mekanisme pendistribusian makanan. Dadan menjelaskan, makanan akan diberikan kepada anak-anak untuk dibawa pulang sehingga dapat dikonsumsi saat berbuka bagi yang berpuasa. Untuk jenis makanan yang akan diberikan selama bulan Ramadan disesuaikan agar lebih tahan lama seperti susu, telur rebus, kurma, kue kering, dan buah. Dadan juga menyatakan, pihaknya akan tetap memperhatikan komposisi gizi makanan yang mencakup protein, karbohidrat, dan serat. Berita selanjutnya. Menteri Luar Negeri atau Menlu Republik Indonesia Sugiono membahas dukungan terhadap Palestina, khususnya terkait rekonstruksi Gaza dan upaya mengakhiri konflik pasca gencatan senjata dalam pertemuan bersama Menteri Negara Urusan Luar Negeri dan Ekspatriat Palestina Farshen Akhabekian. Dalam pertemuan di sela-sela segmen tingkat tinggi sesi ke-58 Dewan Ham PBB di Jenewa, Swiss, Senin waktu setempat, Menlu Sugiono menegaskan pentingnya partisipasi Palestina dalam usaha-usaha mencari solusi atas konflik yang mereka hadapi. Menlu Sugiono seperti dalam keterangan Kemlu Selasa 25 Februari menyatakan, rencana apapun harus mendapatkan persetujuan sukarela dari seluruh pihak yang terlibat termasuk Palestina. Menlu menambahkan, Indonesia menolak relokasi paksa warga Palestina dari Gaza dan mendukung warga Palestina tetap di tanah airnya. Berita terakhir, anggota Komisi 6 Dewan Perwakilan Rakyat Republik Indonesia atau DPR RI, Herman Karun berharap Danantara menjadi lembaga pembiayaan yang kuat. Menurut dia, lembaga yang akan bertanggung jawab langsung di bawah Presiden ini berfungsi untuk mengkonsolidasi aset negara dan saat ini sudah resmi memiliki payung hukum yang telah ditandatangani Presiden Prabowo Subianto di Istana Kepresidenan pada Senin 24 Februari 2025.